What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
On this episode of What the Fuck, Jillian is... She's a little bit of afraid of our dumbest thing. She's afraid I'm going to go off on some big ranting tangent that's going to take up the whole thing. I assure you, Jillian, that
did you never do that?
No, I never go off on a rant. Never, never.
Dude, when you brought it to me and I was like, okay, wait, what is with this? Because you know more about it than the article said. You went on for way longer than dumbest thing would have been. And then even then I had to cut you off and be like, okay, well, are you sure you don't want this to be a segment? So... I digress and leave it to you, sir.
All right, I will play nice. But okay. But before we get into dumbest thing, last week you got the promo right. Can you do the Adam and Eve promo again?
You put me on the spot. I get nervous. Okay. You go to adamandeve.com. You put the promo code what in. Then you get 50% off a single item, 3 DVDs, a mystery gift, and also free shipping in the United States.
Correct. For using the promo code WHAT at adamandeve.com. See how awesome Jillian is? You see how much she brings to the show?
Yes, I bring information. Riveting.
So, let's get to this right away. Jillian, this is...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
All right, now, Jillian and the audience, you guys have heard me bitch numerous times about my evil, almost supervillain governor... of Wisconsin, Scott Walker. No, I'm serious. He almost is at this point, isn't he? Because he's doing all these evil things, and he's just, there's all transparency. He's like, I don't care if anybody knows that I'm corrupt. Screw you. I'm doing it anyway.
Whatever, do what I want.
Yeah, it's almost like we elected a supervillain. And I say we in the pejorative sense because I sure shit didn't vote for him. But
in D&D terms, he's lawful evil.
I don't know about the lawful part.
Well, lawful means you don't technically break any laws, but you're twisting things to your gain.
All right. When he took office, one of his big things was he was going to create 250,000 jobs by the end of his first term in 2014, which he'll probably never get to because he's about to be recalled. The Bureau of Labor Statistics have come out and said, oh, not only did you not create the 250,000 jobs you promised, you actually cost 23,900 jobs in the first year of your term.
They took our jobs!
Right. And do you know what his response was? I don't trust the Bureau of Labor Statistics. I'll release my own numbers later. This is cartoon supervillainy here, Jillian, isn't it?
I told the same thing to my teachers about my grades. I was like, I don't trust your grading system. I'll give you my grades later.
But I'm serious, for the governor of a state to do this, isn't this almost cartoonish or comic book supervillainy? I'm the governor. You are an officially licensed government agency who has no political agenda whatsoever, and you only report facts. Those facts don't fit my ideology, so I'm going to discount yours and just release my own numbers later on. This is just insane.
Kevin Bacon wasn't in Footloose. Yeah, he was. Everybody knows it. Nope, not buying it. Kevin Bacon wasn't in Footloose.
Yeah, it's you ignore something long enough and it'll just go away, apparently.
Oh, and I would like to amend. I got almost straight A's through school. I was just joking.
But actually,
there were things on tests that I got wrong, and I was able to argue my way out of it from my point of view, thus making it right, because the teacher didn't see those facts, so... Maybe in a way I'm somewhat evil myself.
We all know you're evil. That's not a somewhat.
I'm deliciously evil. All my minions love me.
Delicious. That brings up a whole... Exactly. Now, the funniest thing about this is...
I'll bring it up.
And he has this smug photo, and obviously they're going to choose the photo that makes him look the worst. But he's got this smug look like, yeah, I'm evil. So what of it? And then he's kind of given this almost wink-wink at the camera like...
Oh yeah,
he's got this picture like, say baby, what are you doing after the press conference?
He's got that look. If anybody watches just any kind of Law and Order or just any kind of plaintiff defendant case, he looks like that wormy defendant who blatantly did something wrong and is looking over at the victim like, ha, I just got off, what do you think of that, I'll see you later, like kind of just taunting, haha, I got away with it type look.
Right, and I just found that so funny, both that they would choose to use that photo, and personally because the photo does kind of fit his, I'll just release my own numbers later, stance, you
know? It does! It looks like that could be the little caption.
And
I'm gonna make a meme.
So, Scott Walker, I'm saying it first, is officially a supervillain. I'm saying that.
You need to think of a theme song.
He is officially a supervillain. All right there, Jillian, I did not go too long into that, did I?
No, you did not.
Now, the next one is something, it's a little bit lighter, but it's still some, well, there are two things, but they're related, that still piss me off. Which one would you like to tackle first of these two tangentially related things, Jay?
Let's do the Evil Dead first, because that kind of leans in with the second one via copyright and one's actual movies and the other is an establishment.
Would you like to explain to them what the Evil Dead nonsense is?
Oh, no, you can go ahead and explain it.
Basically what it is, a little movie production company called Award Pictures has decided that Sam Raimi officially relinquished the rights to the Evil Dead franchise, which he's owned since he made the movie and copyrighted in 1979, and of course Evil Dead 2, Army of Darkness, the millions of comic books, etc., etc. When he publicly stated in an interview for a book, In the 2000 book, The Evil Dead Companion, quote, "We're never going to do a sequel." According to Award Pictures, they say that means he put the franchise into public domain and anybody can make an official Evil Dead sequel.
Yeah, that's not how that works.
Yeah, I mean, this is like, really? My brain hurts. Because technically, you can relinquish something to the public domain. Okay, the owner of that can do that. But just
right,
saying,
you can't just
I'm
say,
not.
Oh, you're not making any more, so it's public domain now. That would be like, you know, oh, you're not releasing any more Star Wars. Well, Star Wars is public domain now. I mean, you can't.
Right.
It doesn't work that way.
That doesn't make sense. And okay, first of all, Sam is still clearly using the franchise. All three DVDs are still in print. They're currently working on finishing the post production on a remake. There's another sequel to the remake already in the works. There's an Evil Dead musical. There's a new action figure line. The franchise is still clearly being used by Sam Raimi and Renaissance Pictures.
And apparently they're trying to argue their way out of it by saying that there have been several things under the name of Evil Dead that have no affiliation. However, what they're wanting to do is a clear continuation of the already established plot line within, you know, the established series that's copyrighted. So they're not just, you know, saying, oh, we're going to make, you know, this horror film and we want to call it Evil Dead and they're being shot down on that. They are blatantly trying to continue upon what has already been established. They're saying, well, no, you can't do that. And so they're, you know, arguing over that point, which there's always loopholes within plot. A lot of do end up getting released, and then you have the legal arguments of, you know, this is way too close to my work, and the other guy's like, well, no, it's not, because here's this change, and
Great
that's
White.
Existed forever within movies and music, and then that's kind of a fight, but, you know, saying that, okay, well, my Evil Dead's not going to have anything to do with your already trademarked Evil Dead, and you gave up the trademark anyway, makes no sense if you've got character names and the storyline that you're continuing with is off of those already established works.
Exactly. I mean, and one of the things that they're pointing out that's already been called Evil Dead 4 really isn't. Do you remember that David Hasselhoff, Linda Blair movie, Witchery, from like 88, 89, somewhere around there?
I know the name, but I have not actually seen it.
In Japan, that was released as Evil Dead 4.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the arguments they're trying to make. Well, it was legally called Evil Dead 4 in Japan, and keep in mind, at that point, Army of Darkness had not even been made yet. Over there, they title things differently, so there was an Evil Dead 3 out of another totally unrelated film.
Well, and when you start going out of the country, I don't believe copyright is worldwide. We had Ed on that one day a while back talking about how copyright differs depending on what country you're in. And you've got, you know, the Turkish films, things like that, that are blatant ripoff of Star Wars and so many things. You've got Turkish Rambo, everything. And essentially, they can somewhat get away with it depending on, you know, what they do. Because, yeah, it's copyrighted, but you're not doing the exact same thing. But if you've got two people in the U.S., like I said, I don't know a lot about international copyright. So, you know, if I'm wrong, please don't send like 50,000 emails and be like, well, actually.
Well, Jillian, you're married to Brad. Bruno Matai's Terminator 2. Do I need to say more?
Certain thing can infringe upon copyright. What happens is if the owner of that work sees the other work and decides to take legal action, then that's when you run into problems. There's a lot of stuff out there that technically infringes upon copyright, but the original owner is just like, whatever, not worth my time. So, you know, and this kind of bleeds into our next situation. So we'll,
all right, let's say what you need to say on this one. We'll finish off Evil Dead first. So,
okay.
What I want to say is Award Pictures, I do give them the Brass Nuts Award for.
But not in a good way.
Not in a good way, but I will give them some props for, holy fuck, at least you guys came up with a pretty original way to try and make an unofficial sequel. Mm-hmm. You got to give them a little props for being creative with it.
Well, and the thing with that is, too, if you have to change it and you're saying, okay, well, we'll change the characters' names and it's not, you know, the timeline will change that, why the fuck do you have to let the same thing? That's a big issue with certain remakes is that they don't do it right. And if they would have called it anything but the original source material, people wouldn't have had a problem with it. But they're just so centered on having to have that name and that, you know, brand of Evil Dead, because people watch this and it's like, you know what? Nowadays, people are going to watch almost any crap as long as the trailer looks good. So you don't really need to use the word Evil Dead. So it's just essentially, oh, they're trying to loophole into it saying, no, you said you weren't going to create a sequel. So it's public domain, which legality wise,
bullshit.
That doesn't work bullshit. That way. It so doesn't work that way.
Bullshit.
Do you know how many things don't have sequels but are still copyrighted? I mean, there's a lot of movies out there that don't have sequels, but they're still under copyright.
Exactly.
And you can't get around that way. You can try and make something. And I mean, there are certain other companies that make sequels that exist from copyrighted works, but they either get the permission of, you know, the person or the company or whoever may own those rights.
Let me just say the words. Jaws 5, Cruel Jaws. That's a real Italian movie.
And I mean, they used the Star Wars opening theme in that movie. And I was like, really? They're really doing this? It was awesome. The boat goes out and it's, you know, the title card opening of Star Wars with the scrolling font.
And when they're fighting the shark,
they really can't do that.
And when they're fighting the shark, it's the Miami Vice theme.
Yeah.
It's definitely Jan Hammer.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
But that's the thing, though. Like, and this does kind of bleed into, you know, the next one as well. Again, I'll reiterate, the thing with copyright is, you know, you can go ahead and release an independent film or what have you and use whatever music you want. However, if it's for distribution of sale, you may get away with it for 10, 20 years, 30 years, and then suddenly someone cross it and say, hey, that's my song. You've been making money off of this, and then you are going to lose a shit ton of money in a lawsuit because legally you did infringe upon that, but you didn't think you would get caught because maybe you weren't as big when you did that. That's what we run into with our independent films. We are very careful that anything that is distributed for sale is copyright free. A lot of people are like, oh, well, no, it's free advertising. You can have that Budweiser sign up there. No, you can't. If the wrong person sees that. And I mean, some companies will just be like, well, whatever, not worth my time. But you are going to have those dicks that's like, hey, yeah, this was made like 20 years ago, but this person's really big now. So we should, you know, sue them, and better safe than sorry.
Speaking of that,
I told you it was a segue.
There is a Southampton pub that is being sued. They are called The Hobbit. They are being sued. They are being sued by Peter Jackson's production company that owned the rights to The Hobbit, Lord of the Rings, etc. Now, you could say, well, a pub is pretty stupid for basing all their stuff off of The Hobbit with all how popular those movies are. Yeah, see, problem is, this bar's been doing it for 20 years before Peter Jackson owned the copyright and trademark to those characters and events. Where the fuck does Peter Jackson get off going, yeah, you existed before I owned this, but I own it now. Get out.
The thing is, though, before that, the works were still copyrighted. So if you take over something that never went out of copyright, it's still within the correct timeline.
But it
wasn't ever free source, was it? Like, Lord of the Rings has had substantial copyright throughout, and then they just took over the rights.
Right. In England, I believe things are a little bit looser.
Okay.
When it comes to that kind of stuff. And so this is where the big problem is going to come in for Jackson's company. U.S. law versus British law. Because they're basically using U.S. law to shut down something in England. And that, I don't know how sticky that's going to get.
You know what? I didn't even think about that.
It's like, it'd be different if this was in, you know, California and they were shutting it down. Then it'd be like, okay, yeah, you fucking violated this shit. Technically, shouldn't Tolkien's heirs be coming after this bar? Because Tolkien's heirs knew about it.
No, not if the copyright went from Tolkien to Jackson's company, then that's it. That's the whole copyright. You are saying, like, if I created something and I'm like, okay, well, I give up the rights to this and I'm handing it over to someone, I no longer hold any of the rights. And so those rights are taken over by the next party. So, you know, Tolkien's family, whoever sold the rights of the Tolkien works, it's gone. They don't have the rights anymore. Unless there's some kind of language that says, you know, for certain situations, again, this is where I have a problem with some of these articles that we come across. They're very succinct and not really
this is from the
expanding
BBC,
upon
so
the whole story.
This is from the BBC, though, so I'd say...
No, we come across that a lot, though, in articles where it says something and it's like, okay, well, that's clearly not the whole story, so it's really hard. And you have to end up playing devil's advocate in some of these and be like, okay, well, in this situation... Yeah, I can see it this way. However, if this is the case, then it's this way. Do you see what I'm saying?
I do. But then there's also the thing, and you and I have talked about this before on the show, like with Universal. The way Universal, obviously Dracula, the character, is public domain. They obviously own the Bela Lugosi-looking style Dracula character. They sue school plays. You know, if you go to your local carnival and the spook house.
Yeah, we've.
Yeah. That is asinine. It's asinine that they do this.
Here's one thing, though, versus, you know, the person that is speaking for this bar. There may be differences between British copyright, like you pointed out, and U.S. However, the points that she's making, they're raising money to try and keep the bar. Honestly, with how much money it's going to cost to fight Hollywood, and they even said, well, we don't think we can fight Hollywood. We're, you know, taking up this cause. She said it's going to take like a few $1,000s to revamp the bar. I would take up a cause for that because chances are, with all of the stuff going on, you probably don't have a case. I mean, they've got Elijah Wood's face on their loyalty card. That is taboo anywhere. You cannot use someone's likeness without their permission. So that, their case does not hold water.
For that aspect, correct. But if you look at like the sign, obviously the listeners can't see this, but the sign on the bar does have what looks like the characters. Problem is they're cartoonish enough that they look like the literary versions of the characters that have been in comic books. And Ben and
Again,
the old
though,
Rank and Bass specials.
All of those literary
and...
works are copyrighted, and Jackson's company took over those literary works copyright without any kind of, you know, in between. Because even Ed was saying, if something's public domain and then it becomes, you know, owned by somebody, you don't have to pay prior to when it was public domain, but you have to either stop releasing it or change it once it becomes under somebody's copyright. Now, I'm not saying all of this copyright junk is right. I'm not saying that bar is in, you know, complete, you know, violation. I'm not saying it's right. I would love to go to a bar called The Hobbit with drinks called Gandalf and all that crazy stuff.
I could see you going crazy there.
Yeah. But my point is, I'm speaking strictly legality. If I was with this association, like, okay, well, there's money to change it because it's going to be way more money to try and go to court and fight it. And even, you know, as you pointed out again, don't know the difference between, you know, the British copyright versus U.S. The thing I have as well, though, is the person speaking for this, and I forget her name, was she was just kind of upset, and she was like, well, do you, you know, copyright Mozart's work and Shakespeare's work? And it's like, well, yes and no. Want to use a classical piece of work that is public domain, yes, you can use it. However, it becomes copyrighted by whoever performed it.
Right.
So if I were to play Moonlight Sonata and somebody sticks my playing of that in their movie, they have to get my permission.
Absolutely.
The same goes with Shakespeare works. If you are doing something with annotations or just slight, you know, certain things or republicizing something that someone had already publicized, that is copyrighted under that publication. So there's all these little, you know, specifications to everything. When schools do plays, you have to get permission by, you know, the people that have the rights to that publication that you're trying to do. The same, and I know we've talked about this before, but the same is with artwork. The Mona Lisa, when you look in an art book or what have you, it says used with permission. So you can't just have a picture of Mona Lisa in a distributed work because it's like, we owe the rights to that. You can't use that. Again, I want to reiterate, I'm not saying all of this copyright junk is right and that's the way it is. So I wish they could stay open. Again, I hope maybe the British law is a little more lenient down there. However, I mean, the Elijah Wood face, that would have to go. You know,
absolutely. Well, okay.
And most sane people, they would look at it and be like, oh, sweet, it's an homage. I mean, fuck. If we were walking down the street in some city and it was like the Cinema Snob bar or something and it had Brad's face, we'd be like, that is like fucking cool as shit. We wouldn't be, excuse me, you know, but to each his own.
Well, but let's end this segment with a quick little story.
Okay.
We had a bar here in Sturgeon Bay called Pooh's Corner. Pooh was the nickname of the owner because he was kind of a rotund guy and whatnot. And they did not have a picture of Winnie the Pooh on the sign. It had something that looked very similar to Winnie the Pooh in the same way that He-Man is similar to Conan. Okay? You know, we're clearly, you can see what they're going for, but it's different enough. Well, Disney came down on Pooh's Corner hard and they had to change the name to Poe's Corner, taking out the two O's and just making it one large O, and they had to get rid of the somewhat Winnie the Pooh-ish looking thing. And I'm going, really? It's a non-franchise bar in a town of 10,000 people, and you're going to sue them over an almost Winnie the Pooh looking thing? Really?
Yeah, that kind of stuff is just spiteful. Again, I can understand people being a little more grr with movies. Again, with movie titles, depending what it is, if it's not around a succinct character, like, say, Indiana Jones, a lot of titles get duplicated because you can't really copyright a work. Like our film Paranoia, if you go to IMDb, there's I don't know how many listings of Paranoia, but that is an actual word. It's not a person. You know, you can't really copyright a word. Donald Trump with You're Fired tried to copyright that. So in a situation like that, though, I mean, technically, if they've got the spelling the same and it's the same logo just slightly different of him like over the thing and it's Pooh's Corner, which was the book titles, that's cutting it really close. Not that they should have been hassled, because especially since they're a bar, but I mean, all I have to say, it's common sense, you know,
it's douchebag.
If you're opening, it is douchebaggery. However, these situations wouldn't arrive. It is common sense. If you're opening a business, if you're making a film for distribution, anything like that, know your shit, because you may figure, and again, I'm not saying that this is right. However, to protect yourself, why put yourself in that position? So it's one of those, pick your risks. You know, do you really need your business or movie or whatever to have that thing such close as a trademark? Again, I'm not saying that, oh, you brought it on yourself, but you have to know that there's these assholes out there. I keep bringing up, you know, our films, but we do independent films, and we always, you know, try and look at that line like, okay, well, are the people that own this really going to see the movie and care enough? You never know. You may create it now, and then if your business booms and you're making works that are making a shit ton of money, they can go back and look at your previous work and be like, hey, that's our product. You've been making money off of it for 30 years. You owe us X amount of money. So to that, have that hanging over your head, and just that small possibility with the amount of douchebaggery in Hollywood, don't take the chance. And if you're going to take the chance, be prepared for the ramifications, because legally, if you are infringing on copyright, as stupid as the case may be against you, if you're infringing, you are, and you're not going to have, you know, your case is not going to hold water, unfortunately. I'm not saying that if this happens to you and you did something close to copyright that you deserve it and brought it upon yourself. It's just the fact that those douchebags are out there and will attack you for something very small. And you just need to know that, you know, that is a possibility and protect yourself against it, because unfortunately, that's just the way the world works, unfortunately.
I do agree it is unfortunate that is the way the world works. And that does actually give us a nice segue after Heart Attack into our next segment, which is arguably legality versus morality. Am I right, Jay?
Yep.
We'll be back.
All hell breaks loose in The Evil, a chilling tale of supernatural suspense. The Evil, rated R, no one under 17 admitted without parent.
I was watching Real Time a couple of weeks ago, and I got so pissed off. I want to talk to you this week about false rebels. And right now I'm looking squarely at Bill fucking Maher. I don't know how many fucking times in this one episode, he must have said 5 or 6 times, I smoke pot. I'm for smoking pot. Please legalize pot. Back when I smoked pot. He is so desperate to go, I am a pothead. I'm a big rebel, but I'm also a businessman and I obey the law as well. He's a false fucking rebel. I'm sick of these people, Hart.
Well, I got to tell you, I always felt growing up that the notion of marijuana as the drug of the revolution, the drug of the outlaw, I always thought that it was CIA fucking propaganda because, as far as I understand, when you're high on marijuana, all you fucking want to do is sit on the TV, watch the tube, order your pizza, hang out, and do nothing. That doesn't sound like a rebel to me, man.
Well, but I mean, when you've got someone like Maher who constantly has to remind you, I smoke pot. I'm always smoking pot. He is so desperate to be seen as this rebel and this ground shaker when he is just another one of the people that bend over for the media.
Yeah, I definitely have been feeling in the last couple of years watching the show. There's points when I'm watching, especially not this last particular one with the blonde bubblehead that was wearing the blue dress. I can't even remember her freaking name because all she did was chirp like a fucking bird and eat up airtime. He brings in these pretty chicks, and all they do is talk like some Saturday Night Live sketch. But they just eat up airtime, and they don't say anything. Because you know what it is? It's one of those things where, like, you know, you're feeling about, like, a sunny day. It's a sunny day. And, well, you know, when you have a sunny day, behind every sunny day, you know, there's going to be some not-so-sunny days, some gray days, maybe some rainy days. And they just talk circles and say nothing. It's a particular talking tactic. And the fact that he lets these idiots do it, I kind of feel, I'm like, dude, you're bought out and paid for. You are an undercover rebel. You are letting these people put forth an agenda, and it's obvious. It's obvious when he's letting them get their talking points. The whole purpose for them to be on the show is to obscure the truth, to chum the waters and get everybody arguing over not much of anything. And it's like, why did you even bring this person on? You're supposed to be a serious political discussion group. And I know that you need to bring in some Republicans and that you might have a hard time getting them to come on. But do you really need to bring in these people that absolutely say nothing? They're just saying the Republican talking points because that's what you do when you're a politician. You ignore the question. I'm sure you people have heard me talk over Josh, right? Josh, I've talked over you on the show.
And I've done the same to you.
It's something that you learn because sometimes on these talk shows, you got to keep talking. You just got to keep fucking talking. I was on a show with professional comedians on Outlaw Radio, and these guys were supposed to be all about drinking and fighting and arguing until my drunk ass got on the show, and I just fucking destroyed everybody. But I'm used to having those political fights on a talk show where you got to be fast, you know, and I don't like being like a Tabitha Smiley person who's like, I'll just talk so goddamn fast no one will be able to get a word in edgewise because I just talk so fast. Dude, you're saying nothing. And I feel many times watching Bill Maher, I'm like, what's the real message here? I do feel that he's some kind of corporate undercover rebel like you were talking about in our other episode of Heart Attack where we were discussing COINTELPRO and talking about false flag operations where government agents are sent in to create a violent act in a peaceful movement. This is a common tactic of our government. They did it during the peace movement in Vietnam. They watch all of the people that are part of the peace process to try to fight this war in Iraq. And believe me, guys, we still got there. It's not, people are still dying in Iraq. And these things that are going on in Afghanistan, and what really irritates me is when they're like, Obama's war. No, you're just doing a trick. It's Bush's war. It's a Republican war. It's a Republican war that we inherited. And we really need to fucking see through this shit. And I believe people are. I mean, I was listening to the Joe Rogan podcast, and I'm a big fan of Joe Rogan, and people out there who haven't heard the Joe Rogan Experience, you should listen. They talk about some mind-boggling shit. And it's just amazing, this magic act that goes on where, don't look at this hand that's shoved up your ass and causing you deep pain. Look over here at this hand that's got the homo marriage puppet on it.
Well, and then you've also got people, not just Bill Maher, although this is a big friend of his, is Michael Moore. He has got himself so branded as this big rebel and the only person advocating for free speech and freedom in America, when he is absolutely corporatized. He is all about the money. He is all about manipulation, and his documentaries, and I'm putting that word in air quotes, Hart, are some of the most manipulative, one-sided things I've ever seen outside of the Republican fucking party.
You're not going to get an argument from me there. His material is definitely not a really dry doc. You know, there's things about Michael Moore that I respect more so with Roger and me when he was chasing down the head of was it General Motors who pulled out of Flint, Michigan?
I think it was GM, yeah.
I feel like he really was sincere and that it was real. And I feel that he kind of got addicted to this activism and this, I'm important because I'm an activist. And I think he fell into that trap of enjoying the fame and enjoying, you know, oh, we really need you to stand up for us, you fat fuck who obviously has some kind of issue because you can't fucking keep the weight off. You can't fucking shut your goddamn mouth long enough to look like a regular human being instead of a fucking tire man. But that goes back to my rant about impulse control.
Well, but then you've also got like Bill Maher when the SOPA bill was up. He not only did he refuse to listen to the details of it, he was for the bill because people bootlegged religious and he lost money on it. What the hell is more corporate and systematized than that? I want the internet locked down because people bootlegged my movie. Punish everyone.
He's part of the system. He's part of the same corporate giants that lie to us day in and day out. And what do we know about corporations that clinically speaking, psychologists say flat out, almost every corporation behaves as a psychotic human being. And psychotic human beings aren't very nice to people. They're not very nice to their partners, you know, or their customers. Psychotics normally fuck everybody over.
Well, I mean, like one thing I will give, like, Keith Olbermann. I don't think he's an undercover rebel. He's been fired twice now for standing up for what he believes in, even though it's ultra-liberalism. I gotta respect the guy for that, don't you? I mean, at least he's really actually rebelling against his employers, isn't he?
I'm not familiar enough with his work to comment on it, so I don't really know. I only know him from his battles with MSNBC, his battles with Current. And it's like, dude, get your shit together and be influential. I don't know what's going on in his fucking world. I don't really know too much. I don't watch his show, so I can't comment.
Well, but then you've got ones like Elliot Spitzer, who you brought up before. You know, Elliot Spitzer's on Real Time, and he's got his own show on Current now. Isn't this the guy who was cheating while in office, and somehow we're holding him up as the moral center of the Democratic Party?
Yeah, you know, look at Jerry Springer. What's Jerry Springer? He's nothing more than a mayor who got fired from his public office job, passing city checks on hookers.
Yeah, that was actually stupid. That was actually just stupidity. You never pay for a hooker with a check.
But you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the entertainment world is where these defrocked politicians end up going. Their political career is over with. They're not fit to actually have a real fucking job. So they become talking heads on the TV. And that ain't real. It's just not real.
Do you know what is real? There's a channel out there called American Horrors.
This is true. And it's you're pretty fucking violent.
Well, how do you get American Horrors?
Well, you know, the best way to get American Horrors is to go to www.filmon.com. And that's FILMON.com. And what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to register. It takes about 10 minutes. And you could be either get one of their packages and subscribe to a bunch of channels. If you don't have a lot of money, just subscribe to American Horrors. It's as little as $1.95 a month, and you're going to get some insane original horror that you just can't find anywhere else.
And we're not talking false rebels here.
it's a real rebel station, and I mean that in the best possible way. There's no commercials during the movies. You show all the tits, you show all the blood, you show all the gore. This is not Chiller or Fearnet we're talking about here, people.
Yeah, this is the good stuff. This is the stuff that, let's just say, when I was publishing comic books, I was the guy that your mother said, I don't want you going near this guy's books. So imagine what I'm doing with an uncut horror channel.
We will talk to you guys later.
Have a great night, and go check out demandprogress.org and become active in our governance.
You are invited to witness a shattering adventure in total fright. You have never experienced the sheer terror, the menacing suspense that awaits you when you see, watch me, when I kill.
Lucas!
Watch me when I kill. Rated R.
So, Jillian, we said we're going to be talking legality versus morality here. Now,
this is a legal segment show.
Kind of.
You're going to play like the Law and Order. Bump, bump.
No, that's not that isn't happening. Now, this is sweeping America. So if you're foreign listeners, you might not know what the hell we're talking about until we explain it. Our American listeners are going to know exactly what we're talking about. Monterey, California. Last week, Ryan Young, a meat clerk at the Delray Oaks Safeway, that's a big old grocery store chain, was fired because he saw a man beating his pregnant girlfriend.
He was not fired. He was suspended.
Suspended.
Yes. There is a difference.
For a guy beating his pregnant girlfriend, he stepped in. It's still unclear exactly what he did to the abuser, but he stepped in and stopped the abuse. Safeway said, you fucking violated store policy. Get out, to their own employee, because he could not stand to watch a pregnant woman get beat in his store. Do you see why some people are a little pissed off about this, Jay?
I do. And again, this is what my point was with articles being very short and not having all of the information. And that's probably due to the fact they don't have all the information, because the quote he gives is every few seconds he would turn around and push her, and then he actually kicked her. They're reviewing the tapes, and there's a prosecutor involved, so I'm assuming that that Young beat this guy's ass.
That was definitely implied in the news story that was linked on the page, because they're saying that they might charge Young with assault. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I have a feeling he beat this motherfucker down.
Now, like I said, you know, pushing any girl, whether she's pregnant or not, kicking, what have you, he said that I guess the trigger was Young stepped in and, you know, told him what for, and then the guy got irate. Which, if you've got a guy who's, you know, being aggressive towards a woman in any way, or mildly aggressive,
a pregnant
and
woman,
you're
no
estranged,
less.
No, any woman, pregnant woman, what have you, it doesn't matter, you know, any woman. And again, obviously, yeah, more serious because she is pregnant. You don't hurt people, period. But especially, like, I know that's a big thing, like, you know, don't lay your hands on a woman. If you've got a stranger that's like, hey, dude, you need to cut that out. He's an asshole anyway. He's gonna get irate. And so it goes from that point to where by Young saying something kind of also triggered it, because then he started to get a little more aggressive towards her. And it almost sounds like one of those, you tell a kid don't do something, they're like, what are you gonna do? And they keep doing it. For the pushing and the kick, I wonder, and not that I'm saying it's right, is it like a shoulder shove, like, come on, and then just kind of like a bump with the foot? Because it doesn't sound like, from what he said, that he was actually there beating her. So by this person, which, like, you know, I've worked at stores too, they're like, you know, don't intervene, call security. He never called security, which is the first thing he should have done. Not that I'm saying he shouldn't have intervened, depending how serious it was. But I think you do call fucking security, then step in, because it doesn't sound like he was just there wailing on her. You know, I mean, he stepped in to say something and then the guy got irate. Call security, then do what you have to do. So I'm not saying the store's right. I mean, they're suspending him to look at the tapes to say, okay, did you go out of bounds? I mean, I know people that are like, you know, if you say that to her again, I'm going to fucking beat your ass and kill you. It's like, okay, well, that's verbal. You're not supposed to be verbally abusive to anybody, but does that warrant an ass kicking and almost murdering somebody?
Right.
So there are people who overreact, and I'm not saying that this person overreacted, but the information is not there. So all of these people who are getting on the bandwagon saying, I'm boycotting the store, blah, blah, blah. It's like, there are severities. If you look at, you know, same thing goes with child abuse. You have a parent that'll just like, you know, give their kid a swat on the butt, whether you believe that that is abuse or not. That doesn't warrant a clerk going and beating the ass out of the parent. They hit the kid, in their opinion.
I agree with that. But okay, Safeway actually uses the word fired in their public statement, though. So like,
the one you sent me, it said suspended.
But later on in the article, it says Safeway reportedly issued a public statement about the event, claiming, quote, Young was not fired for the confrontation, but for other actions prior to the confrontation, actions that they have not yet disclosed.
Okay,
so
there could have been something on the tape. Again, like I said, devil's advocate, both sides of the thing, not saying it's right, not saying it's okay to, you know, hit women, pregnant women, anything like that. However, you know, punishment should fit the crime. If this guy was nudging someone, yeah, don't fucking push a pregnant woman. But if it was just kind of like a shove and somebody, everybody has those lines, like you don't touch a woman at all, you know, don't be aggressive with women. And so in Young's mind, if it was just like a shove, like, you know, you push your friends, you're like, move. Not that I'm saying it was, you know, hearted shove, it was probably aggressive. However, you know, an aggressive shove versus jumping over the counter and beating the shit out of a guy for doing so, you kind of have to take consequences for your actions.
Right, but I think Safeway overreacted, and I think then they started trying to cover their asses. Because you'll notice in that thing I read about the firing, he was not fired for the confrontation, but for other actions prior to the confrontation. Are we really supposed to believe that they were going to fire him anyway? Oh, and it just happened to be the day after he beat the guy that they actually decided to let him go? Something else is going on here, Jay.
Again, this is where I don't like these kinds of articles because it doesn't say everything. Yes, it's bullshit that they're not releasing why. Secondly, for some reason, legally, they may not be able to say why, but for all I know, prior to the confrontation could have meant he was cussing out people. You know, this is why I don't like these articles, is because I can see blights, because I look at that and be like, yeah, he was being very aggressive.
That's the journalist.
If he's like, if he's kicking, you know, her in the stomach, yeah, put an end to it. If he, you know, kicked the side of her leg or what have you, and she's walking, what have you, and, you know, it just sounded like, and I find it hard to believe that if some dude is there wailing on a pregnant woman, he said that nobody else was doing anything and they were all just going about their business. I don't know. I think that somewhere on whichever side on there's not the whole story on either side. And again, I know I'm coming off really bad in this.
You're
in
not,
this whole show
you're, Jillian.
Because
no, Jillian, wait. You are not coming across bad. You're coming across with a journalistic ethic that you want the whole truth to be told. That is a good thing. So you're not coming across bad, Jay. I want to say that publicly, okay? I mean, are you disagreeing with me? Yeah. So what? That doesn't mean you're coming across bad.
But I'm like, nope, this dude shouldn't have done that. Well, you know, but the fact that his statement, because I mean, honestly, if that should happen, let's say I saw some guy and he's wailing on his kid and I step in, and not that I'm 5'4", so, you know, completely hypothetical. But I would clearly do something, you know, wailing on the kid, you intervene. However, whether it ends up being a fight, what have you, you describe what happened. This guy is saying every few seconds he would turn around and push her. And then he actually kicked her. Kicked means, you know, you kick somebody with your foot. He wasn't beating him. And it says, I told him to calm down. So if someone was doing it to an extent of beating, you wouldn't be like, dude, calm down. And then he got irate. And so do you see what I'm saying? That
there was most likely an escalation once Young got involved.
Right, which in the first place, you know, he should have called security. Secondly, just for his protection too. It's one of those situations where the whole story isn't there. And it's just kind of weird because even him, in his defense, Young is not really being that descriptive on the details. You know, it's like, well, then it escalated from there. So to me, it almost sounds like he's protecting himself and maybe he shouldn't have done that, or that it wasn't necessary at the time, that I think maybe adrenaline or what have you, because I'm not saying having a strong ethic of, you know, you don't lay your hands on, you don't lay your hands on, you know, whatever your beliefs. I'm not saying that's wrong. However, especially when you're at a place of business, that business is responsible for your health. That business is responsible for all of their customers. So that's also lawsuit situation. If you have an employee that beats the shit out of a customer, whether it's slightly warranted or not, because it really doesn't sound like, from Young's own statement, it doesn't sound like what he was doing was worth me what he did. Like, you could have called security, what have you. Call, you know, the cops, do something. But I mean, from what he describes, it really doesn't sound like it was beating, like he said. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, his first statement, he says he was beating her. He was pushing her every so often and nudging.
It sounds like overreaction.
Yeah, there are those people. Like I said, you know, I know people that, you know, someone will say something to their girlfriend and it's like, you know, in an attitude, or they get in a verbal fight outside of the bar or something, not even, you know, threatening, leaning in. But then the guy steps in because he's overprotective. And he's like, you say another fucking word to her and I will fucking kill you. I will beat your ass. That's overreacting. Yes, you shouldn't talk to people that way, but to want to beat somebody's ass for disrespecting someone, that is overreacting. So I'm just saying that this does exist. I'm not saying that, you know, he definitely overreacted, but the information isn't succinct. And honestly, in a statement like that, if you went and beat somebody's ass for something and you're telling side of the story, I would be a lot more descriptive than how he is. So that just kind of makes me wonder and kind of, you know, raises a flag as, all right, how bad was this really?
Well,
because I've seen parents where it makes me disgusted because they're yanking on their kid and they're not really being verbally I'm like, oh, that kid's going to, you know, have issues and that parent better, you know, not be doing anything. But you can't really do anything. They're just yanking and not being a good parent. But you can't go and beat the parent's ass because they're, you know, going, come on, come on, and yanking their kid's hand.
Right.
Yeah, you shouldn't do that. But you can't go beat their ass for them doing that.
You also have something that this story is indicative of, as well as like the Trayvon Martin case and the new facts that came out from that. The media had already decided Young was the hero and the guy who got his ass beat was going to be the villain in this story. Yeah. The media had decided it's just like with the Trayvon Martin thing. Trayvon Martin was depicted as this sweet, innocent little boy that this violent racist shot down. Oh, yeah, now it turns
out... Are you really going to start in Trayvon Martin in the last 5 minutes of the show?
No, just hold on. But, and then it comes out this week, oh, yeah, Trayvon Martin had marijuana in his system. He'd been suspended from school for assaulting another student that week. And, yeah, he was not this sweet, little, innocent victim that the media wants to portray. The media goes into stories like this with a predetermined villain and a predetermined hero. The Young thing, that was it. We're probably never going to know what, you know, outside of when the video gets released, what Young actually saw, or I have a feeling your version is probably closer to what actually happened. That it wasn't that bad and it escalated to the point where Young kind of, yo, you gonna fucking push me now, motherfucker? And that, you know, that kind of shit.
Yeah, because people do get volatile when you're, you know, trying to intervene and you're like, hey, do that. And then this one starts in on you and is like, what? Then that boils. It's like, really? You're going to do that? And I just want to kind of point out before anything escalates with the Trayvon Martin thing, I'm sure you're saying that he didn't deserve it because he had marijuana and that happened.
No, you're just talking about
the media skew.
Right, yeah. No,
I just want to make
totally
sure people know that.
Talking about how the media decided from day one Trayvon Martin was the victim. And they never bothered to even look into whether he might have instigated the incident.
You know, student, because like everything else was like, you know, no track record, perfect school, straight A's. And then it was released that he wasn't. And I think that's the distinction we're making, is that the original information was not told of anything, you know, negative that was there to,
because the media decided
to essentially outweigh what the actual situation was.
Right. I'm not trying to say Zimmerman was right in that case. I'm just saying Zimmerman was decided from day one. The media decided he's the bad guy in this situation. Fuck any facts that come out later that might prove he wasn't. And that's the same thing with this Young thing. They decided Young is the hero. I mean, he's been on all these talk shows and stuff. Young has. And it's like, just like you pointed out, could we maybe hear from the other guy or maybe the woman that got beat? I mean, who knows? Maybe, and I'm not saying beating a woman is okay, or let alone a pregnant woman, okay? Maybe she was just all on this guy's ass and she, you know, man, you got such a small dick, you don't have the guts to push me back.
Even then, you know, that's not right. However,
that's why I prefaced with, I'm not saying it's okay, but I'm saying she probably is not this sweet, innocent little victim either.
Well, and again, you know, when you say someone shoves someone, you know, there's a big difference between violently shoving and knocking someone down and just kind of like, get away from me or what have you. I mean, there's really not. And the thing that just makes me suspicious is the fact that he's coming out with his story and he's not even giving details of what happened. And again, I know I already said this, but in that situation, you'd be very descriptive and, you know, this happened. And then, you know, there's no reason why it would be a one sentence telling of what partook before you jumped the counter and started beating the guy.
This guy was beating his wife, so I intervened. I'm a hero. Hit, hit.
Well, I he doesn't sound like that. Don't.
I know, but all right,
I know, so, but you know, for people that look this up, we have to stay neutral as well. So.
No, we don't.
Well, I try to. How about you?
Right. That's because you're actually a journalist.
I'm not a journalist.
You have journalistic ethics.
Well, I'm
that's
not
a compliment.
Journalist.
Right,
well,
but I'm
complimenting. I don't want to, like you say, I'm a journalist. I'm far, farther from it. I never went to school for journalism or publications or anything. So,
well, if people want to confront journalist JZJ, where can they go?
That'll be my new tag, journalist JZJ in the house. I'm Mrs. JZ Jones on. You can find Facebook, Jillian Zarowski Jones. I'm on thecinemasnob.com, and then we just recently launched a site called HuffingtonDave.com, which is essentially an article and blog type site from the people of Team Snob on the Cinema Snob.
All right. And you can find me at 1201beyond.com, 1201beyond@gmail.com. My weekly column, Sanity is Razor Thin, at GeekJuiceMedia.com. My monthly column in the Green Bay area, Shadows of Pop Culture, in Scene Magazine. And coming up, my still untitled column at Bleeding Cool, about the comic books no one remembers.
You should just call it the Untitled Column.
I think that's a little too on the nose. Night.
Good night.